Welcome to No Longer Conformed, where we're studying the book of Acts. In this session, we will be considering Acts chapter 22, verses 24 to 29, Paul's defense before the centurion. Let's read that passage. Acts 22, beginning with verse 24. The commander ordered him to be brought into the barracks and said that he should be examined under scourging so that he might know why they shouted so against him. And so they bound him with thongs. So as they bound him with thongs, Paul said to the centurion who stood by, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, "Take care what you do, for this man is a Roman." Then the commander came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" He said, "Yes." The commander answered, "With a large sum I obtained this citizenship." And Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him, and the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman, and because he had pound him. It appears the message Paul gave to the crowd didn't impact the commander, but the response of the people did. He wanted to know why they were so upset with the apostle. The Romans had an effective way of getting truth from someone. They beat it out of them. The scourge was a wooden handle with leather tongs, and rough pieces of bone or metal were inserted and attached to the tongs. That was what they used on Jesus' back before he was crucified. The Romans either got information or the person died. It was the second time the crowd was excited about Paul. It's still, he was not going to be beaten unnecessarily. They bound him and prepared the scourge. But Paul very skillfully used the law to his own advantage. He knew the law of God, and he knew the law of man, Roman law. He waited until the last moment and quietly asked, "Is it lawful for you to scourge a man who is a Roman and uncondemned?" Whoa, hold on for a moment. Roman law was the empire's strength. How serious was a beating? It would have been an illegal act. The centurion would become the actual criminal. So he went and told his commander, his superior, immediately. Citizenship was so important to the empire. It was granted. It was purchased. It was birthright. It was precious. And it provided much protection and privilege in an empire made up of so many nations, cultures, and peoples. It was Paul's Roman citizenship that ultimately got him to Rome. Acts chapter 19, verse 21, it says, "When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, 'After I have been there, I must also see Rome.'" And then if you go forward to Acts 25 in verses 11 and 12, he said, "For if I am an offender or have committed anything deserving of death, I do not object to dying. But if there is nothing in these things of which these men accuse me, no one can deliver me to them. I appeal to Caesar." And then Festus, when he had conferred with the council, answered, "You have appealed to Caesar? To Caesar you shall go." When the centurion heard that, he went and told the commander, saying, "Take care," in verse 26, "what you do, for this man is a Roman." Poor Lysias, the commander. He thought Paul was an Egyptian terrorist, only to learn he was a Jew from Tarsus, fluent in Greek. Then he discovered Paul was a Roman. Still, the surprises weren't over yet in the situation before him. Look again at verses 27-28. Then the Roman came and said to him, "Tell me, are you a Roman?" He said, "Yes." The commander answered, "With a large sum I obtained this citizenship." And Paul said, "But I was born a citizen." See, Lysias was a Roman with purchased citizenship. When he asked Paul if he was a Roman, he replied, "Yes." Just kind of imagine the conversation for a moment. "Yeah, Paul, I had to pay a lot, to get this citizenship. But it's worth it, especially if you get around the world like I do. What about you, Paul? How much did you have to pay for it?" And again, the apostle waited and skillfully said, "I was born a citizen." Luke was such a great storyteller. The point was made. Paul's Roman citizenship kicked in, and it mattered with the officials. Paul may have been in Jerusalem, but his citizenship was far away in Rome. Verse 29 just speaks for itself. "Then immediately those who were about to examine him withdrew from him. And the commander was also afraid after he found out that he was a Roman and because he had bound him." So, what's the point of all this? What's the point of all this? Well, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Verses 13 down to verse 16. It says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they have called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them." Go to James chapter 4, verses 7 down to verse 10. "Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of God, and He will lift you up." As a Christian, you're living here on this sin-cursed, Satan-controlled planet, but your citizenship is in heaven. You possess all the benefits and privileges of a citizen in the kingdom of God. And you can see the King any time you want or need to. Satan tries to tell you that you're a pauper when he knows himself that you're children of the King. Let me ask you, how are you living? As a slave of the enemy or as a child of the King? You have a great day.